So thankful for our worship team. And Sarah, I don't know how you get through leading that song while you're watching your daughter dance. Emma, thank you so much. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Friends, in honor of the reading of God's word tonight, would you please stand with me? We'll be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke records these words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for us, the Christmas people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. For those of you who have been with us through the season of Advent, we wrap up our manger and mystery series, which we've been in for the past 4 weeks. And for those of you who haven't been with us, maybe you're visiting from out of town, you're here with family, maybe you haven't been in church for a while, maybe since this time last year. A couple of things on that. One, whatever brings you here, whether you just feel like it's Christmas Eve, this is the place that I should be, maybe because it's the place that you used to be when you were younger, maybe you're here with family, whatever the reason, we are so thankful that you've chosen to spend time here with us, because we know that you could be any other number of places. And the second thing is that we believe God is a God of intention and purpose. That whether you came here of your own will or you came kicking and screaming because your mom wanted you to come, and you do that because you want to keep mom happy, we believe that God has purpose in you being here, and God desires that you would encounter something new about him. Thank you for spending this time with us. So whether you're just jumping in, whether you've been with us, we are wrapping this series up. But if you've missed out, don't worry. It's really easy to jump into this story because it is a familiar story. In fact, when you think about it, much that happens at Christmas is a familiar story. The story around the birth of Christ is familiar. Whether you hear it from Luke's gospel, as we've just heard the account of the birth announcement to the shepherds, whether you've been in Luke's gospel at any point during Advent, it's the story that you're used to hearing. Or maybe you go to the more like adult version or grown-up version that's in Matthew's gospel that has the three strange visitors coming from faraway places to see this baby who was born, or mad King Herod who does awful things at the news of the birth of a new king because he is so jealous. Whatever the case, the story is familiar, whether you've grown up in the church or whether you are lightly connected to the church. It's one that we are familiar with, that we are used to. And then there's the Hollywood version of the familiar story. Those stories that we expect to hear every year. In fact, once December hits, or maybe the Friday after Thanksgiving, you begin making the list of Christmas movies that you want to see, because it is not Christmas until you watch some of your favorites or burn through about 15 Hallmark Christmas specials, which, let's be honest, they all have the same formula, right? The 90s actress that you forgot about, the hot 90s actor that you've never seen before in your life, the town with a ridiculous name, a failing family business, a big city type who runs into their small-time, used-to-be love of their life, who reminds them of what Christmas is, and oh, they fall in love again in the process. There's always a supernatural element, a tree-buying scene, and of course, thank goodness, Christmas is saved. It is a familiar story. The stories have become so familiar to us this time of year that if we aren't careful, we believe that we are actually going to get a Red Ryder BB gun. We believe that we will get that bonus that allows us to build a pool in the backyard, not a membership to the Jelly of the Month Club, right? And we believe that this our father who makes and sells awful children's books will stop neglecting us and pay attention to us, even though we've lived in the North Pole with elves for the past 40 years of our lives. While we might laugh at these holiday favorites, A Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation or the movie Elf, if we're honest, then we know that these familiar stories strike a deeper chord in us. The Red Ryder BB gun, that thing that you have to have. Maybe you won't shoot your eye out with it, but maybe you will shoot a hole in your heart with it. Because no matter how amazing it seems, once you get it, you realize that it can't really fulfill you, that you're left feeling empty. Or maybe this is the year that your ship comes in, right? Maybe your work is validated and you finally strike it big. Or maybe this is the year, just because it's Christmas, that all of the family relationships that are so strained are all of a sudden mended. When you gather tonight or tomorrow, these relationships won't be strained anymore. Past hurts will be forgotten, because that's just what's supposed to happen at Christmas. And yet the reality for many of us is that, just like the story of the birth of Christ has become so familiar to us, the story in which we are living, the one that we can't seem to escape, the one that just won't change no matter how much we add to it, no matter how many relationships we try to fill with it, no matter how many hard conversations we have, no matter how hard we work, the story remains familiar, a part of what has become our day-to-day lives. Maybe this Christmas you're being asked to get used to a new familiar, a new day-to-day, because you have experienced loss. Maybe your new familiar means getting used to the fact that someone who's always been there will no longer be there. Whatever the case, we find ourselves living in or learning to deal with familiar stories that we want to change. Friends, there is hope for you in the midst of whatever difficult you might find yourself in. And that is that no matter how familiar the story of the birth of Christ has become, it is anything but ordinary. In fact, it is a story so full of hope that it has the power to meet you right where you are and transform the story that you are living. Let's look at those who first heard the news of the birth of Christ. Even though we see in Scripture, as Luke writes, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Even though we see from Scripture, we know from reading the Old Testament, we know from reading the way that God is spoken of in the Old Testament, that the picture of a shepherd is somewhat redeemed, like the young shepherd who would become king of Israel. David, a man after God's heart, or Psalm 23, that familiar psalm to so many of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though Scripture tries to redeem the picture of who and what a shepherd is, in the first century, in this part of the world, shepherds were not well thought of. Not only were they not well thought of, that's being incredibly generous and incredibly kind. Shepherds were like maybe next to the bottom of the heap in terms of the place that they had in society and in culture. Shepherds could never hold public office. Their testimony was never admissible in court. And the most pious Jews, that is the most devout Jews, would never buy from them milk or a kid, not a child, but like a baby sheep or a baby goat. They would never buy from them a young animal. They would never buy wool that they were selling, because they believed that these things were probably stolen and they shouldn't buy stolen goods. They didn't want to be a part of that. Now, to be fair, shepherds would take sheep out for long periods of time, and then those sheep, like most animals, do what they do, and they had more sheep. And so they would probably keep some of those young sheep for themselves and try to sell the wool, stolen goods. There's another layer of injustice, though, for shepherds. And that is that when they were paid by those who had hired them to keep sheep, they were often paid in what? Sheep. young sheep. They couldn't sell the wool. They couldn't sell the milk. They couldn't sell the sheep. That means those sheep were worth what? Nothing. They were kept in a system that they couldn't get out of day to day, day in and day out, living a familiar story. And on top of that, they were right above lepers in terms of the place that they held in society. They might as well have had to walk around like lepers yelling, "Unclean, unclean," because no one wanted to be around them, because they were like physically filthy, but then also spiritually filthy. They couldn't participate in religious practices. They couldn't practice their faith along with everyone else because the work that they did deemed them unclean. They had no place in society. They had no place in the church, so to speak. They were outcasts, living this day-to-day familiar existence. Maybe you can relate to that someplace in your life. Maybe you feel like you can't get a leg up. Maybe you feel like, you know what, my reality is not changing no matter how hard I try. Maybe you feel like there's not a place for you in society. You've worked, you've tried to carve out an identity, and every time you feel like you're getting there, someone knocks you down. Maybe you feel like you don't have a place in the church. That you've been told somewhere along the way that you're not good enough. Maybe you've made one more decision that has put you in a mindset where you feel like, you know, now I've done it. Now I'm finally outside of the reach of God's grace. There's not a place for me in the family of God anymore. Listen, if that is you, if you have ever felt that way, if you have ever struggled with the day today, then there is hope that we find in this story. Pay attention to what happens next. These shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night, living their day-to-day existence, all of a sudden, Luke writes, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is so revolutionary. Moments after the birth of Jesus, the announcement of this birth, the heralding of this good news, does not go to the ruling elite. It does not go to the pious or the religious, but in a sign of what Jesus is all about, in a sign of who Jesus came to be, in a sign of what the kingdom of God is meant to be on this earth. The news of the birth of Jesus went to those who could not come to God. God sought them out, the least and the lost, the ones struggling with day-to-day familiar lives. God went to them. And what we see in this text, the way that Luke describes it, the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds. And the best way to describe this word glory is weight. It is a weightier thing than anything else in the entire universe. It is something that we can't stand up under. It is something that we can't create no matter how hard we try. In all of our scheming and all of our building and all of our plans, we cannot come close to creating anything that measures up to the weight of the glory of God. You see, when the glory of God shows up, when God breaks in, it begins to reshape and it begins to reorder. It begins to break down those kingdoms that we've built up. It begins to undo those things that we've done that we are not proud of. It begins to write a new story in what is familiar. God doesn't go to those who wash their hands 17 times so that they can be clean. God doesn't go to those who are memorizing Torah. God doesn't go to those who are having Bible study. God goes to those who are outsiders, seeking them out and inviting them in. To the thieves, to those who have been forgotten. If we were to come up with a list of likely candidates to be the ones who heard the news of that birth, the shepherds probably wouldn't even make the top 100. And yet those are the ones that God chooses. Shepherds were alert. Living out in the wilderness, keeping watch over animals that were not their own, the shepherds remained alert. Even when they slept, they had to keep one ear open, so to speak. If you are the parent of a newborn or the parent of small children, you know what that's like. When it's silent, then you worry, right? Always keeping an alert ear. If there was a twig that snapped, they were ready to fend off a predator. They had to be aware if there were any sheep that were wandering off, because this was how they made their living, such as it was. They couldn't come back with fewer sheep than they took into the wilderness, and so they were alert, they were aware. And then all of a sudden, as Luke writes, bam, the glory of God is there. It's like leaving your radio turned up and you've forgotten, right? And you get into your car and you start the switch, and all of a sudden the volume that you thought it was at 42, right? And your heart starts beating fast and the adrenaline starts rushing and all the bad words go through your head all at the same time. This is what it must have felt like for the shepherds who were doing what shepherds do day in, day out. Familiar story. All of a sudden that familiar is interrupted. Maybe you find yourself in this place where you're like, yeah, you know what? That's not really my story. Like, my day-to-day is not so bad. I get along with my family. I feel like I have a place in the church. I love the church, and I think the church likes me. No one's told me so far that they don't. But something happens when the glory of God shows up that is for all of us. That is that the glory of God levels the playing field. Because none of us are worthy of receiving it. None of us are worthy of standing in the presence of God and receiving what God has to offer us. We tend to think that we have it all together and that we're awesome because we compare ourselves to other people, right? It's a sliding scale. I'm doing well. I'm awesome. I'm amazing. I mean, like, if I compare myself to my kids, then I'm a heck of a basketball player, right? I'm super fast. I'm really strong. I'm brilliant. You know, but then if LeBron James walks in the room, am I fast? No. Am I strong? No. Am I good at basketball? No. I'm awful. The glory of God levels the playing field. We realize that all of us have need for something greater than ourselves. None of us can stand up against it, and yet all of us are invited into it. We read that the shepherds were afraid. They had every right to be. And yet we see that the glory of God drives away fear and replaces it with joy. Don't be afraid, they hear. What we have for you is good news, not just for you, but for all the people. Fulfilling the promise that was made to Abraham generations before. I'm going to do a thing through you. Out of you will come a people, and they will be a blessing to all the earth. Everyone invited in. Finally, the glory of God, when it shows up, adds value to the day-to-day. See, upon hearing this news, the shepherds go and they feel like, we have to go and see if this thing is real. Right? And maybe you've been in that place, or maybe you're in that place where you just feel like, I got to check this out. Maybe there's something different to this Christianity than what I see represented in other Christians. Listen, on our best days, we fall short of representing God well. And so they go and see. They take a step toward the God who took a step toward them. And they find things just as the angel told them. And they tell Mary, imagine what Mary's thinking. Well, who invited these guys? And yet they're there, worshiping, celebrating, along with the others. And then they begin to go and tell other people. Those who are outsiders become the first evangelists, the first to tell the story of this good news that something new is happening. A new day has come. God is making things new. And then what do? They go back to their ordinary lives. The shepherds return, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They returned to where? To shepherding. Now all of a sudden, the day-to-day and the ordinary for them has been redefined. It's been given new meaning. They see it with new eyes. God, who sent his Son into the world, has sent them as well. Now they carry with them a new story. Friends, we are invited, we who live day-to-day familiar lives are invited into that same story and are invited to be a part of sharing that story with the people around us who are living day-to-day familiar lives, trying to figure out and make sense of what they are doing, trying to find meaning and trying to find purpose and trying to find value. People who are desperate to hear a new story. People who are desperate to know that something new can be spoken into their familiar situations. People are desperate to hear that there's hope beyond what they can see, hope beyond their present reality. And sometimes it doesn't mean that your present reality changes. The shepherds went straight back to the thing that they did, ill thought of by society, yet with the knowledge that they were deemed worthy in the eyes of God. And that from that point forward, no matter what people around them told, all of a sudden they understood something different about their lives, because the God who they couldn't approach came near to them. Meeting them in their ordinary, everyday lives. The glory of God, born into this world in the most ordinary way. This was not the first baby that had been born. And yet there's something about this birth that would reshape the world. And I love that God does that. That God has a way of taking the ordinary and giving it new meaning. Tonight we have the opportunity to celebrate an ordinary meal. This was a meal that had been celebrated by God's people for generations. It pointed them back to the time when God rescued them out of Egypt, when God brought them into freedom, the Passover meal, representing their deliverance. It was a meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, just as Jesus had celebrated with his disciples before. And yet this time, in a way different from the other times that they had celebrated this meal, Jesus took the bread, as would have been the custom, and he lifted it, and he gave thanks. Ordinary thing to do. And yet in this moment, Jesus gave it new meaning. As he lifted the bread, he told them, "This bread is my body, broken for you." As often as you eat this meal from this point forward, now all of a sudden it has new meaning. As often as you do this from this point on, remember what was given for you. And in the same way, Jesus took the cup as he would have done at other times that they shared this meal. Only this time, after they shared the meal and Jesus took the cup, he said to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This cup is my blood shed for you. This represents for you a new way of coming into relationship with God. Not by having to earn your worth, not by having to prove yourself, but because Jesus was willing to give himself." Jesus takes that which is ordinary in our lives and seeks to redeem it and seeks to give it new meaning. Friends, we have the opportunity on this Christmas Eve to consider the fact that God is born into our familiar, born into our day-to-day, born into our ordinary lives, so that he might give us new meaning and new purpose, so that we might begin to live a different story than the familiar story we have been living. And at the table, we have the opportunity to celebrate that. The thing I love about this table is that this is not Boone United Methodist Church's table, this is Christ's table. and all who would desire to come to Christ. All who would desire to know more about what this life is like and to live at peace with one another are welcome at this table. So whatever your tradition, whatever your background, know that you have a seat at the banquet table of Christ. I'd like to invite those who are serving to come, and as they come, let me pray for this meal. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have taken that which is familiar and that which is ordinary, and you've given it new meaning, that you desire to take our familiar stories and invite us to live into a new story. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and this cup, that they would be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus, that as they pass our lips, that the taste of salvation would be sweet. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.